Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City on the broadcast today. The Assembly Republican Minority Leader, Robin Titus, is here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. We are delighted to welcome back to the program the Minority Leader of the Assembly, Assemblywoman Dr. Robin Titus.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Always a pleasure. So tell me, at this point in the session, are Republicans being listened to in the Assembly?
We're being listened to in the form of when we meet with the committee chairs and when I reach out to Speaker Frierson and Majority Leader Teresa Benito Thompson. Certainly they listen. Does it make any difference? Not so far. Hopefully we'll see a little progress, but not a lot of hope in that.
How many bills of yours are moving through?
So far at this date, we've had zero Republican bills pass out. We've had some work sessions on them. Statistically, they're less than our folks are working on it, so I don't have the exact numbers, but none have had a floor vote. I've had work sessions on a couple of my bills, but then they haven't been brought to the floor yet.
Are there areas that you feel you could work with the Democrats in a bipartisan fashion to at least have the Assembly of Republicans' name on these bills?
I've had a couple bills that I've been asked to co-sponsor on the from the Democrats. I have what we refer to as a roadkill bill, and that Assemblywoman Bill Bray Axelrod asked me to co-sponsor, so she and I are co-sponsors on it, and it's about ability to harvest animals that were hit on the side of the road so they don't just go wasted. That has a chance of passing. I've been on a couple of health bills that are certainly going to pass, and a bill that had an early hearing but then has kind of had a pause on getting to the floor on removing archaic language from our Constitution, deaf, dumb, and blind. That one that I sponsored, I had everybody on the Democrat, all members of the Health and Human Services committees on both the Senate and the Assembly want to be co-sponsors with me, but it's yet to come back to the floor. So And I'm certainly a lot of co-sponsors on the speakers, prostate, ovarian cancer awareness month. So all of those are not the core issues, however. But there has been partisan bills that have passed out, but none that have been primary sponsored by Republicans.
One of the bills that's being laid out of the Assembly now is the Death with Dignity bill. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on that, because you are a doctor, right, an actual doctor, and you know, what are your thoughts?
This bill's been around before. We've already vetted it. Several sessions now. As a physician, I took the pledge. I'm not going to harm. Although I understood how Kevorkian idea developed when the whole thought of physician-assisted suicide comes out, I frequently have been asked that question, and I have had, you know, 36 plus years of practicing as a family practice doctor. And I've been there with patients and held their hand literally when they died. I would send them, diagnose them with whatever terminal disease they might have, send them to the specialist for treatment, and then at the end when it was time, I'd be there for them. So I have a different view on that assisted suicide. And I would always ask them, because I've been asked many times by patients, please doc, you know, I don't want this to either be a burden on my family, I don't want to be in pain, I don't want to end up in a nursing home. And so it's just those kind of questions. So I'll ask them, what are you afraid of? What are you concerned about? And if I can alleviate those concerns, you know, you won't be in pain, we'll be there, won't be a burden on your family, and have that kind of assurance. Most of them don't want to end their life. And I always tell people, keep living until the day you don't. And because you don't know. You don't know if, I've seen people die in a week that should have lived for years. I've seen people live years that should have died in a day. Because I have a strong belief, there's a power greater than I just try to be there for them and answer those questions, and especially their fears. My opinion is that I understand where people would say, well, you know, everybody should have that right. There's so many things that could happen that I, for one, am not supportive of physician-assisted suicide.
Okay, so if you, God forbid, were in that situation where you had a terminal illness and you decided that you wanted to end your life at that point, do you not feel that you should have that right to choose?
I have had patients and I've had friends with, when they're given that terminal diagnosis, they have just chosen to end their lives. I have had families say, well, you know, what would it take? You know, dad wants, you know, what would happen if we gave him this? And so I can educate, but I'm not the one that's going to make that decision for them. And so that's different in my mind. I worry that there's a lot of motives, insurance companies perhaps, family members perhaps, that don't want it to extend. And so I'm the patient advocate. I'm the one giving that person the ultimate quality in life. Do you have a right to make that decision? I do believe you have a right to make choices, independent healthcare choices. I've been an advocate of that forever. As far as physician-assisted suicide, for me, I'm not a person that supports that.
Let's talk about where we are in the state with COVID. Do you feel comfortable now? You have been vaccinated, I have been vaccinated. I feel a greater sense of confidence, not that I lacked confidence, because I thought I was taking all the appropriate precautions, and you know, it's the luck of the draw at that point. But at this point, I have a greater sense of confidence. Do you think that more restrictions should be lifted in the Silver State than have been lifted so far?
Absolutely. We have now had a bulletin from the CDC that said, now that we've had enough time with the vaccination that first came out in December, that we know that, and they recommend that groups can get together if everybody's been vaccinated without wearing masks and be close. So not just family members. So if you're fully vaccinated and it does take 2 weeks after your vaccine to really build up the immunities, they truly feel that we don't need to be using the masks. The issue comes, of course, with those who haven't been vaccinated, which is a choice to not be vaccinated. Then I feel that, and then the CDC says those folks may consider still being required to wear a mask. People are worried about the mandated vaccines, and I think people have a right to say, no, I don't want to be vaccinated. I certainly appreciate that view too. I chose to be vaccinated. I chose to be vaccinated because I want to get the building open, and if that will help get the building open, I I'm there. Let's get this vaccine.
Would you not have had the vaccine if it weren't for that?
I had an opportunity to have the vaccine in December as a healthcare worker, and I'm still working in the ER. My feeling was there was a limited number of vaccines. I felt that there was people that should have been in line and vaccinated long before I got vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vaccine person. I'm a proponent. I think it's the smartest thing we do in healthcare is vaccines. You give somebody a little bit of that disease so you build up your own immunities. I think that's good. This vaccine was unique. It's not the traditional vaccine. I was willing to wait and see, let other people get that vaccine, and then I would be in line to get that vaccine, especially for travel. And other issues. But I certainly wasn't first in line because I wasn't afraid of getting the disease either. I don't have any illnesses that I would worry about. And so for me, there was people that were much greater at risk than myself.
And just to make the point here for our audience, you are a conservative, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and so you're saying if you want to get it, go get that vaccine,
I think people shouldn't. I'm a fan of the Johnson & Johnson one. That's the one the governor got.
The one shot.
It's a traditional vaccine. And I told my kids to go get it because I think I think that's the type of vaccine that science is interesting. There's always that lag between trust and when you invent something. I always use the story of somebody who invented the stethoscope. That person was, it was horrible to think that you would use a stethoscope and touch somebody's chest, that kind of stuff. But, it has to catch up, right? And so as science catches up, people have more trust on it. At this point in time, however, if you want to travel, the Johnson & Johnson one, it's one-shot deal. I'd recommend anybody who feels the need to go get it. Again, remember that this disease is in certain age groups, it can be fatal. If you're a vulnerable population, absolutely can be fatal. So why take that chance, especially if you want to travel? And so go get the vaccine. However, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you about the card. So when you get the vaccine, you get a card that's a CDC card that shows you got the first vaccine, the second vaccine, and all the information. A lot of companies like Staples and Office Depot, either for a minimal charge or free of charge, are laminating these or shrinking them so that you can put them in your wallet. Do you think that it's a good thing for people to be carrying these around now? And
folks act like carrying a vaccine card is a new thing. We've all been given vaccination cards for our children when we go get them vaccinated. I have a passport. I've traveled internationally. I was required to have vaccines to travel internationally with the yellow fever vaccine, etc. They're all in my passport. So it's not some new conspiracy theory to have a card that you've been vaccinated. The good news is if you lose this kind of information, we now have what's called WebIZ, and you can go online and you can see whether or not you're current. And it's just not, people think that the COVID vaccine is the only vaccine out there. I would encourage folks to know, is your tetanus shot up to date? Is your pneumonia shot up to date? Are you vaccinated to the full capacity, what you should be, especially when traveling, especially if you're vulnerable? And all that information is on WebIZ, especially for your kids as they get vaccinated. It's all loaded into there.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with the Minority Leader of the Assembly after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com, tollsdevelopment.com.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon, offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us, located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Assemblywoman Robin Titus. She is a doctor. She is also the minority leader. Governor's emergency powers, they're still going on. Should the legislature actually have a role in emergency powers as against the governor being the sole ruler of the state of Nevada?
Well, I think, and I've publicly said, absolutely. Our caucus has presented many bills to try to rein that in. And I think the question needs to be answered because it's open in our Constitution. It's not clear on these extended emergencies. I think no one has a problem with an emergency hurricane, a flood, a fire, foreign attacks, whatever that emergency might be, it's imminent and the governor needs to be able to respond and help the citizens. We are all okay with that. The question came in extended emergencies. No one ever expected this extended emergency and it's not well defined what that is. And so we feel strongly that we need to get that definition out there. We need to understand how long it should be. For us, there's been a couple bills, one of mine, one of Assemblyman Wheeler's, that said, okay, after 15 days, let's have that governor come back to the legislature, call a legislative session, call a special session, and let's get some oversight. I think you should share the burden, at least go to some other thoughts. For me, I don't care who, it happens to be a Democrat governor right now, just as easily could have been a Republican governor. And I think checks and balances are there for a reason, and currently there's been no checks and balances. And I think the conversations I've had with the other side of the aisle, many folks would agree with that, that there needs to be some checks and balances. Unfortunately, nobody's willing to step up and say, yeah, you're right, let's at least review this. So we're pretty frustrated about that.
Is that a product of term limits that now the governor, the Legislative Council Bureau, the lobbyists, up until this session, have more power at this point than the legislature?
I would say they certainly, folks who have power rarely want to give it up. But I think that if you're thoughtful about it, everybody should be at this table on this one.
All right, let's turn to innovation zones, which has been a big topic. You can barely turn on the television or go online and not see advertisements promoting this. Jeff Burns of Blockchains LLC is the one that is promoting this. Senator Kiekhefer was on the program last week, and also Dr. Vince Solis of Western Nevada College. Talking about the potential benefits. What are your concerns about the innovation zones as proposed by Blockchains that hasn't come out in a bill yet, but you actually had a conversation with Mr. Burns?
I did, and we've seen the bill draft request for the innovation zones. We haven't seen a bill yet. There's, we have lots of questions on when we see that bill, what the final language will be. So then we'll have a better template to speak towards. At this point, I had a lovely conversation with Mr. Burns. He's passionate about what he's doing. My concerns, as I expressed to him, was not so much his entity that he is willing to put up his own finances for. It's all the other areas around it and the impacts to this great state that we all love. So my job is to watch out for the rest of the state. A private business wants to do what he has to do and needs to do to move forward is one thing, but the impacts of surrounding communities, the water, the issues for water, and most importantly, their own form of government. Do we need an 18th county in our state? How is that going to work? I'm very anxious about that, and that's where I have my major concerns.
And it would seem, first of all, it's easy enough to say, okay, we need our own county. First of all, I don't understand why Story County, that has been the most innovative county perhaps in the country in terms of being supportive of business. I mean, they've got the Tesla Gigafactory right there. How big can something be in the short term that Story County couldn't handle it?
Right.
And if you're going to take away the 67,000 acres from Story County, then there is going to be a cost. There is going to be a loss.
Indeed. So, and certainly he's thinking about the reinvestment into the area around that. But that, to me, is the bigger question is the other impacts that perhaps he won't be able to cover. And also, to his credit, I would say that part of the reasons he wants to create his own government is he hates the obstacles that he sees in his way. Well, is that...
What would they be?
Well, so that's my question to him was, do we need to give him his own government? Or as a conservative Republican, do we need to limit what the government's interference is? So what the real question for me was, do we need to go back and look at what are the obstacles to doing business in the state? What do we need to research? Is it really an obstacle? Are there important checks and balances for a reason? Or do we have five checks that we don't need there when we need one check to balance it? So for me, I think it's a good chance to do an overview of what does he have a legitimate argument? What are the steps that he feels are in his way, and are they there for good reason? That's where the real question for me would be. And I think it's a good time to see, are we a business-friendly state? And I think we still are. And so we have been able to bring businesses into the state. This man's willing to put in his own money, however, not asking for any rebates, not asking for, you know, anything other than his own government. That's pretty huge.
It's huge.
That's
right.
Pretty huge. And I would say that I would argue that I think it's going to have a lot more discussion. And I for one, have very big concerns about the impact.
Does it surprise you how little Southern Nevada legislators know about this?
Well, I think they actually, I would argue that I don't know that that is a true statement. I think they know a lot about it now. I think it's been so public now. Are they interested in it? That's a different thing. The governor certainly put it in day one in his State of the State address. So they had to come up they had to get on board or not pretty quickly on this. And I think they've been doing some education on it. What the shocking was, I didn't know anything about it till the day before the State of the State. Senator Settlemyer didn't know anything about it till the State of the State. So we were all kind of going, what is going on here? Apparently this discussion has been going on quite a while with the governor that none of us knew about, except for the ones who perhaps had some donations.
And does that concern you on the donation side, that the governor became fully funded for his campaign? It was $50,000 put into his PAC, $50,000 to the Democratic State Party, $10,000 to your colleague Jim Wheeler, so it wasn't just Democrats who were getting the money. Does any kind of pay-to-play concern you?
Absolutely.
Potential for that?
Absolutely it does. And it needs to be. And the good news is that it's been exposed. We all know follow the money. There's been articles on follow the money. You don't just follow the blockchain, you follow the blockchain money. I think they've been put a lot of money into advertising this, and they've done what they feel they need to do. I have very big concerns about that. And what's the incentive? And are they really looking at it with a... open eye. I will tell you, this pattern's happened before in Nevada. When the stadium went in, there was a lot in the Las Vegas Raiders Stadium. When that went in, there was a lot of checks written to a lot of groups, elected officials, people running for office. They met with me. I got a campaign donation from them, but I told them, I will take your campaign donations, but I'm not supporting the stadium. And so I think that having a donation is one thing. Does it change how you vote is another. And people have to look at that.
All right, let's take another break, and we'll be back with Lita Titus after this timeout.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K-8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today, we fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at NevadaHeating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Dr. Robin Titus. She is the minority leader on the Republican side. So there was a story in the Nevada Independent last week, but I think it's pretty commonly known, that you're potentially going to run for James Settlemyer's Senate seat. Jim Wheeler, your colleague in the Assembly, potentially also going to run. What are your thoughts on this race and where's it going to go?
Well, first off, it's premature to know what any of us are going to do because that whole thing called redistricting. I may not even be in Senator Settlemyer's Senate district when redistricting happens. So we have to wait and see where the lines are drawn. If indeed I am still in Senator Settlemyer's district, I do plan on running for that seat. But the most important thing is right now, we are still in session here. So it's way premature to be getting distracted. So we really need to get our job done here in Carson City before we can look at what happens in the future.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it. Thank you, Dr. Titus. Please come back. And we'll be right back after this timeout.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.